Good evening, friends. I'm your host, Emma, and you're listening to the True Crime Witch podcast, the podcast that takes you into everything murderous, mysterious, and downright macabre. If you like what you hear, please give me a 5-star rating on iTunes and follow me on all of my social media, which will be linked below. I also have a Patreon for those who want to make contributions to the podcast and help make this my full-time job. I'm eternally grateful for you all. This episode contains graphic content and listener discretion is advised. With that in mind, let's get into the episode. This is episode 44, Carla Walker. And this week I have a very special guest, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Aw, thank you, Emma. And first of all, just thank you for having me on your show. And I've been a big fan of yours for such a long time. So I'm just really grateful to be here. Thank you for having me.
That's all right. Thank you for agreeing to be on. I'm super excited for this.
I am too.
And this week's episode is a little bit different because it's a partnered episode. And me and Paige have partnered with the app called Crime Door. Now, Crime Door is an AR app that allows you to walk around crime scenes in pretty much real time. It's an incredible app, and I'd like to point out that all of the crime scenes and all of the footage and crime scene photos that have been put together for this app have been provided by police and families. So Crime Door work with the victim's families. They don't just, you know, do this without asking them. They get permission, they talk to them, and they collaborate on it. So if this was an app that hadn't have worked with the victim's families, we would not be promoting this and representing this to you.
I totally agree. You know, that's one thing about Crime Door. They always want families to reach out to them and put a spotlight on these cases because so many families deserve it. There's so many cases on Crime Door that I had never heard of before. So, you know, I'm really interested now to see what their stories are. So, yeah, if you're out there and, you know, you have crime scene photos and case files and things like that that you can email to them, they would be so happy to work with you.
Mm-hmm. And the owners of the app and Zig, who does all of like the marketing, the PR, they are so nice, so friendly. So if you have, you know, a crime that you want featured, reach out to them or reach out to one of us and we can totally recommend that they put it on there.
Definitely.
So without further ado, let's get into the case of Carla Walker. Carla Jan Walker was just 17 years old, standing at 4 feet 11 and was 105 pounds, with long blonde hair, blue eyes, and was known to her family as a little spitfire. Carla was the all-American girl next door, a student who was very popular and a cheerleader at Western Hills High School. Carla had a boyfriend named Rodney McCoy. He was a white male, approximately 5'10" tall, and he was a starting quarterback for the Western Hills Cougar football team. They had just been at a high school Valentine's Day dance, and on February 17th, 1974, they were sitting in the car together at Ridgely?
I think it might be Ridgely. I don't know.
I know that Americans and Brits, like, if I saw that, that's Ridgely to me, but I know in the US it might be different, but
I would probably say Ridgely too.
Which is a bowling alley in Fort Worth. This bowling alley was a typical hangout spot for young people. He stated on the show, The DNA of Murder, from what I remember, we were talking and we started kissing, and she was leaning up against the door and the door just jerked open. Carla was then grabbed from the car. Rodney tried to save his first love from the grip of a killer and received a brutal pistol whipping for his efforts. Losing consciousness, the last thing he remembered hearing was Carla begging the killer to stop hitting him in the head. She said, "I'll go with you, just please stop hitting him." According to Rodney, the man not only pistol whipped him, but also tried to pull the trigger of the gun a few times, but thankfully the gun never went off. Rodney was knocked unconscious and blood was pouring from his head and all down into his face. But when he came to, they were gone. Carla had been kidnapped. He said the perpetrator was a clean-cut, slender man, about 20 years old, with short, wavy hair, and he had a Texas drawl. Now, I had to look up what a Texas drawl was, and it is, like, the very, very stereotypical, very strong Texas accent. Rodney stated the man was about 5'11" and wearing a shiny green sleeveless vest and an off-white cowboy hat, very fitting for Texas. Rodney drove straight to Carla's parents' house to alert them of what had happened. When they saw the blood on Rodney, they just immediately called an ambulance to get there. So, whilst Carla's mother, Charlene, had called an ambulance, Carla's father had sped off to the bowling alley, which was the last place that Carla was seen. He was pounding and knocking on the door, but sadly, they were closed. The only item the police found at the bowling alley parking lot was her purse. Now, this is an interactive episode, so I will give you a moment to go to your app store, download the app called Crime Door, and you can search for Carla Walker's crime scene. So let's give them a minute.
Yeah.
So once you get into the app, you can sort of scroll down, find the Carla Walker door, open it up, and follow the instructions. Over to you, Paige.
Okay, so Carla's family waited anxiously to hear any breaking news for a few days while police were searching everywhere for their daughter. There were searches by foot, horseback, cars, and helicopters. Carla's body was found on February 20th, 1974, by officers Steve P. Nunkester and Daryl R. Thompson inside a 6 feet tall cattle culvert, which was a drain beneath a country road near Lake Benbrook in Tarrant County on Pearl Ranch Road, which is 0.8 miles east of Highway 377. Carla's brother Jim told the Star-Telegram that he remembered, quote, hearing his mother screaming, and Rodney said that he collapsed to the floor over the news. Her body was laying down in the leaves and dirt with her arms at her sides. Her feet were facing towards the entrance of the culvert, and her face was towards the other end. Carla's body was halfway through the culvert on the right side. There were marks in the dirt where her body had been dragged. It was later determined that she had been sexually assaulted before she was murdered and strangled. The toxicology report also found that morphine had been administered into her system.
Thank you, Paige. So, if you want to grab your phone, I'm going to activate Carla's door. And if you're listening to this episode with us, pull up your phone, activate Carla's AR door, and then you can sort of follow along in real time with me and Paige as we walk through a horrific and very sad crime
scene. It is very shocking, too. So, you know, if you don't want to see pretty much it's not a real photo, but it's still shocking, you know. So if it's not something you want to do with us, you can just hear us talk about it, whichever you'd like to do.
It's like a 3D rendering made out of crime scene photos, but if it's something that's going to be triggering for you or you think it'll be too upsetting, please, you know, don't upset yourself, don't put yourself in that position. You know, you can just skip through the next part of the episode, or like Paige said, just listen to us as we speak through it. So, when you first enter Carla's crime scene at the culvert, you walk straight for a little bit, and then you turn to the right. We're walking over, and you can see that a beer bottle was found on the right side of the culvert by a barbed wire fence.
Yeah, and the neat thing about this is you can tilt your phone up, like, towards your ceiling and tilt it back down, and you can see, like, the whole beer bottle. You don't just see, like, what you would think is like a 1D photo of a beer bottle. You could look all around it. It's so weird. You can look all around the culvert and the outside of it. It is just, it's like Pokemon Go for crime. It's really interesting.
It's incredible. So, yeah, I'm just using a little joystick to look at the beer now. I'm sort of tilting my phone up and tilting it down. It looks like it was possibly Budweiser from what I can make out, but the little joystick and then just tilting up, you can like see the sky, you can look directly at the floor. It's the development that has gone into this app is nothing short of incredible.
I totally agree. I can't wait to talk to Neil and Lauren and ask them, like, how do y'all do this? Like, walk me through it. I would love to know how they actually make this happen.
It is mind-blowing, like, how far we have come in terms of, like, forensics and technology to crime scenes. This is incredible. Like, this is a tool that I could see possibly used in a court case. It could, you know, it might prevent crime scene photos being exposed to juries, although they are important for context of a crime scene. This will help, you know, allow a jury to have a 3D view, have like an accurate you are there moment. It's an incredible tool, and they should be so proud of what they're doing.
I agree, absolutely. And one of the biggest things is they are getting tons of tips from people who are going through these crime doors, and their goal is to solve a crime, because there are so many people out there, like we saw on Don't F with Cats on Netflix. I mean, you have people that are super smart, and they can see things that maybe, you know, investigators may have missed, and their biggest hope is to just solve a crime one day. And I think with the Delphi murders, that was one of the cases that someone kind of recognized the face, I want to say. And that is how, you know, that was kind of brought to light too, was by the app. So I just thought that was crazy amazing.
It's just an incredible, I just spend literal hours just combing through. It's an incredible app. I'm in love with it, but obviously, yeah,
I am,
it's
too.
So good.
Yes. And if you pan back to your left a little and you start walking towards the entrance, now there's supposed to be a light colored comb, but I swear I looked everywhere and I couldn't find it, but I think it's there somewhere. I couldn't find it. So if y'all find it, y'all can let us know.
Yeah.
But I could not find it, and I looked forever. But you can see the Budweiser beer can that's inside the culvert, and it's on the left side entrance, and you can look all around it.
So, I'm sorry, I just got so caught up in looking through the app, and I apologize.
Okay.
As we're walking straight, we can already see Carla, and sadly she's laying on the ground. And as you approach her, at the time you can see what she was found wearing. So she was found wearing a light blue ankle-length dress with lace bra and a gold ring on her right hand and a delicate gold watch on her right wrist, as well as what appears to be a gold bracelet on her right wrist. And the app does a good job of categorizing and displaying the bruising around her lower extremities, her head, and her neck. And as previously mentioned, you can lift your phone up to get, you know, if you want to look on a top-down view, or if you want to look at it from a different angle.
Yeah, you can get like a bird's eye view of her body, which is just so fascinating to be able to seem like you're standing right there looking and seeing what those investigators and police were seeing. It's unbelievable.
I cannot imagine the poor police officers who discovered that. Yeah, that's a very, very heavy discovery to make for sure.
Yeah, and it's just so heartbreaking to actually see her like this. We tell these stories and we picture these things in our minds, and sometimes we do get to see crime scene photos, but With Crime Door, you're just able to virtually walk right into the crime scenes and examine them literally as closely as we want to. And it really just takes it to another level. And I think it brings a more emotional connection to these cases too. Like, we're already feeling emotionally connected to them when we write about them, I know. But when you see it, and I think it makes us see it in a whole different light. It just brings another level to it. And then you think about the family and how when they saw the real actual photos, just the heartbreak and how much they suffered.
Exactly. That is that's their baby girl. No, yeah, like yeah. Everyone, you know, no matter how old you are to your parents, you will always be their baby. And to see, you know, that she was kidnapped and went missing, and then to have this conclusion in such a violent and brutal way, I cannot even begin to imagine how the family must have felt and still feel to this day. The pain never goes away.
Yeah, I can't imagine it ever. I mean, you can try to put yourself in someone else's shoes like that, and you can empathize as much as you can, but unless you experience it, you could never know. And I don't wish this on anyone. Oh my goodness. And obviously, you know, you can see, you know, as many details as you want with this app. You can see the barrettes in her hair, and you can see how her hair is disheveled and on her face. Like Emma said, the bruising you can see very well. And the way that her gorgeous dress was ripped to shreds, and she was dragged through this place and raped either here or before they got there. And it's just so tragic. I know we have some pictures of her because she had the dress on for the Valentine's Day dance with her boyfriend. And we'll have to share those on Instagram so you guys can see. This dress was just so beautiful. She was beautiful. Like, she had this gorgeous hair. I mean, it was just so, so 70s. So just feathered
she
out.
She is like, it just, when I first saw the first picture of Carla Walker, I was like, wow, that is like, Farrah Fawcett. That is very like 70s Texas. Big hair.
Yes.
The bigger the hair, the closer to God. Like,
yes.
Instant, like, Southern woman. Instant.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness.
She is strikingly beautiful, though. Like, the hair, just everything is just very Texas.
Yes, she is definitely what you would picture as a Texas Southern belle, for
definitely.
Sure.
Definitely. So, as mentioned before, Carla's family did work on this crime door with Neil and Lauren, and that is incredibly important. I would not be bringing this to you today if it hadn't been done with their permission and their knowledge. I think in true crime, we get so caught up about the victim or the perpetrator. Most of the time, people focus on the perpetrator and the victims get forgotten about. But I think we get so caught up that we forget to take a step back and think, if I was in their shoes, would I want this? Would I want this on social media? Would I want someone to say this or do this? So I think talking about sensitive topics like this, if you can get hold of the families, you know, ask for a bit of information, consent, is key. It's really key, because we have to remember at the end of the day, these are real people. These are real cases with real families who have been ripped apart by horrific and violent crimes, and the least that we can do is show respect to the victims and to the people who have been left behind.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you just said, like, times 10. Totally agree.
So before we close out the episode, I'd also like to say thank you to Paige for writing this script for me. You are an angel. Thank you so much. I couldn't have done this without you.
Oh, no. A lot of it came from the Crime Door podcast deck that they were just so kind to send to us. I mean, Paul Holes and the team, they do a wonderful job with this. And, you know, I did find a couple of things online that I felt, I was like, well, this doesn't seem like this is the whole story here. So let me just kind of Google and see what I could find. And so I ended up finding a few things about the where the case stands now, basically.
And that is what we're going to go into. So there are some new developments in the case, and I'm sure if you follow like true crime media, true crime news, you will have heard them, but let's get into it. Weeks after Carla's tragic death, police had interviewed a man named Glenn McCurley. Police found a magazine of a .22 Ruger gun at the crime scene, and they looked into who had recently purchased one, and of course Glenn McCurley had. Glenn told the police at the time that someone had very conveniently stolen his gun. According to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, with the help of Paul Holes and Parallel DNA Sequencing Othram Laboratories, who, if you're not familiar with Othram, pause the episode, take a minute, go and follow them on social media, donate wherever you can, they do some of the most incredible work, and I think they warrant an episode of their own.
Oh, definitely.
Fort Worth detectives Leah Wagner and Jay Bennett traced DNA from Carla's clothing to none other than Glenn McCurley, who was now married and a father of two, and it seems that he has no problem with living a normal life after what he did to Carla. In July 2020, authorities collected some trash out of Glenn's bin, which led to testing the DNA on the items collected. This is commonly known as like a trash pull. So if you ever see in an article referred to as a trash pull, that's what they're doing. And amazingly, they were a match to the male DNA found on Carla Walker's clothes. On September 10th, 2020, authorities went to Glenn, now a father of two, and his wife's home to talk to both of them. And Glenn conveniently stuck to the same story that he told in 1974. He was so brazen and so confident in his own lie that he agreed to give a DNA sample, which would be the undoing of him. Almost a week later, it was confirmed that the DNA matched the DNA that was found on Carla's bra. Authorities got a warrant for capital murder and Glenn McCurley was taken into custody. Jail records show Glenn was being held in the Tarrant County Jail on a charge of capital murder on a $100,000 bond.
You know what is so shocking to me, though, is when these vicious people, they have these humongous egos and they just volunteer their DNA like they're not going to get, like it's somehow not going to be a match. Every time that happens, I'm just like, how do you think you're going to get away with that?
It's just like absolute like delusions of grandeur. Like, you know, he thinks that he, because he didn't get caught in 74, that he's never going to get caught. You know, they've not caught me now. And they're just so narcissistic, and it's pretty stupid. Like, it's very stupid on your part. You know, speak to a legal team before you do anything like that. But obviously they are so sure that they cannot be caught that they're just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, it's unreal. And in an interview from jail in the fall of 2020, Glenn told the radio station KRLD that he was, quote, driving around drunk when he noticed Carla outside of the bowling alley. He went on to say that she just gave me a hug and I gave her a kiss. I didn't mean to do it. He said he saw Rodney hit Carla, so he, quote, went over there and opened the door and knocked him off of her. Glenn said that he pulled Carla from the car and they talked. He said that Carla told him, quote, she was thankful for me getting him away from her. She just gave me a hug, I gave her a kiss, and I mistook it for something else. I didn't mean to do it. Like you didn't mean to kiss her? Like, this makes no sense.
This just does not sit right with me. And also, how much of this story can I trust from someone who has just been convicted of murder?
Exactly.
That's all well and good that you're telling me I didn't, you know, Oz, that you didn't mean to do it, but I don't think I'm too far inclined to believe someone who has just been arrested on capital murder.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Carla's older brother, Jim, who is legally blind, decided to become a Fort Worth police officer days after Carla passed. He said of Glenn's statement, quote, "That's pretty telling as well. I don't know what the defense team's strategy is going to be, but we feel good. And I'm not privy to a lot of the forensic evidence, but my understanding of the conversations is that we feel very solid with all things considered. I personally feel very comfortable," end quote. I find it strange how it appears from this that he's involved in his own sister's investigation. Unless he's just, you know, heard things through the grapevine. I just find it quite strange that he's allowed to be involved in the investigation, but I'm not sure.
Well, he did say that he's not privy to a lot of the forensic evidence, so his understandings of the conversations that are maybe floating around, maybe he's not super involved, but I think that he's just keeping an ear out to see what he can hear, you know.
Yeah, perhaps it's maybe sort of through the grapevine, like, hey, Glenn, did you, not Glenn, sorry, Jim, hey, Jim, did you hear such and such, or we're going for X, Y, and Z. I think I maybe misinterpreted that, but anyway. Carla's brother, Jim, has not met Glenn McCurley or even seen him in person. Reportedly, he said he looks forward to the chance to look him in the eye in the courtroom. And for that, I think Jim is a stronger person than I am, because if I came face to face with someone who had killed my loved one in a courtroom or anywhere else, I don't know how much restraint I would be able to show. He seems very composed and very
Oh, I
ready.
Agree. Me and my mom, since I, you know, started the podcast and, you know, I tell her all these stories, and of course, you know, we hear stories that happen around us all the time, and she's just like, there's no way, there's no way. And my dad's like, you know, I would probably end up in jail, prison for murder, because like the way these people can stand in front of these vicious, evil humans in court and not just want to strangle them to death, that is beyond me, beyond. Yep.
It is a great show of character, like just how strong these people are. People who have lost a loved one and have to stand through these trials think that they're not strong, but I swear to God, that is the strongest thing that you could do, because I don't know how I would remain composed through that. Like you said, I would be in prison myself.
Especially, you know, if it's an immediate family member, that's his sister, and, you know, you've got someone who's lost a daughter. I mean, you know,
Just a whole family like ripped apart for nothing.
Yeah,
for no
and
reason.
Like you said, that's the strongest kind of person there is if you can go to a courtroom and stand in front of your loved one's killer and look them in the eye without, you know, doing something or just looking at them. That is the strongest thing I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm.
The pre-trial for the alleged killer of Carla Walker has been set for June 16th, 2021. So in 15 days, we will know the outcome of Glenn McCurley's trial. Carla's brother Jim, who has been in communication with the district's attorney office, said the trial may start August 19th of this year.
Okay, so the pre-trial will be coming up in a few days. So what exactly will be determined during the pre-trial, I wonder?
I think pre-trial will determine whether, I'm not too sure about official like US legislation and stuff, but I believe they will determine his competency to stand trial.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they may determine whether the prosecution has enough evidence to proceed with a conviction. And, you know, if it was like a lawful conviction, like whether he was read his Miranda rights, I think.
I think you're right, too. I think that I just had a complete brain fart, and I just I needed you to kind of, like, my brain back together for a minute.
I think that's what they'll put forward. Like, prosecution will put forward, like, we have, like, exhibit A, B, C, D, blah, 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 and then, you know, the courts might decide if the case is suitable, it will go to court. That's what I believe, anyway. I'm pretty sure that's what they do in the UK. So the official trial does start, or may start, August 19th. So by the end of the year, we may finally have justice for Carla.
It's just so amazing to hear, because this case was cold for decades, and it's just unbelievable that Carla's case has more than likely been solved after all of these years. And as we know, that doesn't happen often, especially after so much time has passed. So this is really wonderful news. And, you know, Glenn is almost 80 years old now, so he won't even be in prison long enough, I feel, to suffer and to dwell on what he did to Carla and what he put all of her loved ones through, because who knows how many more years or even months may be left, you know, in him. So the fact that he just went about his life as if nothing ever happened, getting married, having kids after he's done something so unbelievable, I don't understand how people like him can live with themselves or sleep at night. Carla was not even given the chance to experience life or have all the things that this horrible man was able to have. And I think that makes me so angry that when people, you know, they not only take the lives, you know, of people in their 20s or 30s, you know, but when you kill a child that hasn't even had a sliver of a chance to experience anything, you just ripped away their whole teenage years, their 20s, you know, they didn't even get to start to live yet. And I think child cases are just so, I don't know, they're not more important than any other cases, but they hit me a lot harder, for sure.
Yeah, it's the sort of innocence lost thing. It's the fact that, you know, this child does not even have a chance to do anything. Like, like you said, I don't understand how someone like that can live with themselves, get married, have kids of their own. But I don't believe in God. But I think when he dies, he will meet his maker and he will see his day of reckoning. I think that he has probably spent many, many years living with the guilt of what he did. And hopefully that has torn him up inside and he will meet his maker one day.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I'm not the most religious person, but, you know, I believe in karma. And I don't think you can do something like that and not suffer somehow in your life. So I just wonder, you know, did he fall into an addiction, or, you know, did he suffer in any kind of way afterwards? You know, because he definitely needed to suffer in some kind of way for what he did. So thankfully, you know, I think the outcome is going to be pretty good, since they do have the DNA, and that's a huge, huge part. So I really do hope that by the end of this year that Carla can get justice and her family can have some kind of peace.
Yeah, for Carla's family, it's been a long uphill struggle, and now not only has her case sat cold for so many years, but now with the trial coming, you know, this year, that just brings up all of the emotions, all of the pain, all of the trauma. Like, that Carla's family have to relive that night in 1974 all over again. But it's not just one day. The trial can go on for weeks. It can go on for months. They will spend months reliving these details. And I just hope that the outcome is a good one, because Carla deserves it, and so does Carla's family.
I agree. I can't even say anything more than that. I agree so much with you, Emma.
And I think that Carla's case, from being solved after being cold for so many decades, has given so many other people hope. Like, Othram are such an incredible company, and I think when the news of Carla's case being solved was released, that people around the US and around the world had a collective sigh of relief, like, finally we have a tool where my loved one, where this child, where this person can finally get justice. It doesn't matter how cold the case is.
Right.
We're coming for you. You cannot hide.
Yes, and it's just like when the news broke about the Golden State Killer. I mean, my goodness. You know, people can't hide anymore. You have too many people out there that are very, very intelligent, and they will snoop and snoop until they find you. And now we have Crime Door, and that's going to be a huge help.
And exactly. Like, I want to go back to uni, and hopefully the UK government will approve genealogical research for cases like this. So hopefully I will be able to help pioneer that team. But like Crime Door is an incredible tool. It's going to allow us to have the 3D view of the crime scene. It's going to allow police officers, crime scene investigation, legal experts, that full 360 view that pictures just cannot do. Pictures are great, but pictures cannot provide you with that walk around. And I think Crime Door is going to be a tool in the future. And I wouldn't be surprised if a case in the next 6 months to a year uses Crime Door. I would not be surprised if
me too. And you know, the first time I walked through that culvert, it was so dark, and I just felt like, oh my God, I had chills walking through that through the first time, because I was like, what if that were me? And can you imagine, like, her last moments, or if she even was still alive when she was drugged through there? I just cannot imagine being pulled in through that place. Oh my gosh. It just gave me chills when I went in there for the first time.
It's terrifying. And also, I'm just reading back through the script, and she had opiates in her system.
Well, the thing is they found out that she was injected with morphine.
Exactly. So if McCurley's, that's what I was thinking in the back of my mind, I was like, wait, McCurley's story is that they had a kiss, they had a hug, and it led to something that he misinterpreted. But she also had morphine in her system, which was injected, which to me suggests quite the opposite, because they must have done those toxicology tests pretty fast, because morphine can metabolize pretty quickly, or either that she'd been injected with quite a large amount, so the morphine would have made her like very drowsy, like very sleepy. I'm absolutely disgusted, actually. He is a monster through and through.
And you know, both him and the Golden State Killer, they're both like ancient old now, and that's what pisses me off. I'm like, y'all don't even get to suffer enough for me.
But it's all right, because when they, you know, like I said, when they meet the Maker, or when they go to whatever is in the afterlife, I think they'll suffer. Plus, I can't imagine they're going to have a very easy time in prison.
No.
General population.
Yeah.
General population kind of don't like people like them, especially because they're very high profile.
Definitely.
So, I hope they suffer.
Me too.
So, thank you for being on the episode. I'd like to just read out my sources quickly. And it was sourced from Crime Door, who very, very kindly sent over a deck of all of the information about Carla's case, the Fort Worth Texas Star-Telegram, NBCDFW.com, Star-Telegram, and Heavy.com. So, Paige, if you'd like to let the listeners know where they can find you before we round out this episode.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Emma. So I have a podcast called Reverie True Crime, and you can find me on Twitter at Reverie Crime Pod, and Instagram and Facebook are both Reverie True Crime.
Brilliant. So don't forget to follow us both on social media. Leave reviews. Go and leave Paige a nice 5-star review. She did an excellent job of this podcast, and I listen to her podcast at night because her voice is so soothing. And my fiance said the same thing. He was like, "Oh, that southern voice." I was like, "I know."
That's so sweet, because I love listening to your voice, and I have forever. And I'm telling you, when you do your Reddit scary stories, you keep me up at night with those. So sometimes I have to wait till the daytime to listen to those.
I feel bad now. I'm scared, Paige. I feel so bad.
No, but I feel like I rambled a bit in your episode, and I'm so sorry. But when I just have a million things in my mind, you know, it's hard to put into words how you feel.
Oh, yeah.
And I just truly appreciate you having me on your show, and just I hope your listeners enjoy, and it has just been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for coming on and helping me out. You are truly an angel. You are the sweetest person in the podcast
community. No way. You are. No way.
Remember to follow us on social media, and remember, stay safe and stay spooky.